Hello and welcome to another episode of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejado de las podcast. This is episode number 148. And this week, unfortunately, there's some sad news to share from the Disney podcasting community. As many of you out there listening probably know already, Alan from the Enchanted Tiki Talk podcast died suddenly on Christmas Eve. He was 34. He left behind a wife and a three-month-old daughter. Really sad and tragic news. And this week, we just wanted to address it as Mike and I kind of got our start with those guys over at Enchanted Tiki Talk, and they brought us on early in our podcasting career and helped us along a little bit. And Alan was always good to talk to on social media, as everyone would know, and did a great job as one of the hosts of that podcast. And just such a sad piece of news to hear that he passed away, especially so close to the holidays at such a young age. And I'm here with Mike, and we also brought on Scott Campbell from Dixie Landings. And Scott, you were closer to Alan than Mike and I were. We never met him in person. We talked to him many times online and things like that, but you did have a more personal relationship with Alan, correct?
Yeah, I had the great honor of spending some time with him.
And just such a sad situation. I mean, it really is terrible to have to bring this news out and to even record this episode. I know you struggled with the same thing, Scott, that you put out a short episode last week and just kind of relaying the news and getting some of your feelings out there. And I mean, there's not much that I can say that hasn't already been said. Everyone who knew Alan personally or even just through interactions online just had nothing but good things to say about him. And it's just such a tragic thing, especially with the young daughter. And I mean, it hits close to home for me. I mean, I'm basically the same age as him. I have one young daughter and another one on the way. So it's really something that hit really close to home and was just such terrible news to hear about. And my heart just breaks for his family. Now, Mike, was there anything you wanted to add?
No, I was going to ask Scott. Scott, you got friendly with those guys kind of through social media, yeah. Twitter type of deal, like kind of like we did as well.
Yeah, I mean, Matt and I started Dixie Landings Radio, you know, same kind of as you guys did. Matt and I actually went on their show for one of their April Fools.
Early on, I remember you did the April Fools because you specifically talked about them building a monorail out to the Swan and Dolphin. Wasn't that right. You who was talking about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that episode.
Yeah, that was the first time I had ever done a podcast. You know, I was good friends with Sean, and Sean's to this day still one of my best friends. So I got to really know Keith and Alan through that as well. And Matt and I kind of got introduced to the podcasting from that. Matt has been Alan's best friend for almost 9 years. And we had talked about doing a podcast, and, you know, I had Cooper on the way and didn't know if I was going to be able to have the time or anything else to dedicate to doing a podcast. And then after Cooper was born and everything else, Matt and I started talking, and, you know, we really enjoyed that time with the guys in the Tiki Hut and decided to do it. So it's, you know, because of them that we put our show together. And, you know, same as you guys, you know, having them on our show and the support and the help and everything to get our show going, you know, we have them to thank for it.
Now, how did Matt and Alan meet? Were they just, they grew up together, or they met after in adulthood?
Because 9 years almost sounds pre-Twitter.
Right. Yeah. No, they actually they worked for the same bank there in North Carolina.
And oh, okay.
When Matt was getting started, he shadowed underneath Alan.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I mean, I knew they were friendly. I never realized I didn't even know they were like personal friends in real life.
Like personal as opposed to virtual friends. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. No, they were. I mean, they talked every day. They went and, you know, hung out a lot. They went to a lot of baseball games together. I mean, they were together a lot. I mean, they were definitely the best of friends.
Well, doubly sad for Matt then, because I'm sure he empathizes with Alan's family because he has young kids of his own, and then obviously losing a best friend for him just has to be just heartbreaking. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you've talked to him. I haven't really reached out to Matt, kind of letting him deal in his own way. Don't want to just go out and, you know, try to reach out to him about it. But is he holding up okay?
He's doing his best. They're on a nice little mini vacation right now to clear their head. He's trying to stay off social media and everything else, but you know, he's got to stay strong for his kids. But you know, he said in our last episode that we did, you know, our in memoriam to Alan, that, you know, talking about it on that really was kind of therapeutic for him. And yeah, you know, he's definitely taking it hard. He's called Alan's cell phone to be able to hear his voice again. And, you know, the benefit that, if you can call it a benefit, kind of the blessing that Alan's little daughter Grace has is, you know, all the guys got together, one last time in the Tiki Hut and went to Alan's funeral, and they put all of their recordings that they've done, and gave it to Alan's wife Blair so that Grace can have every single episode and of her dad talking about how much he loved Disney. And, you know, there's times you'd hear her in the background on it. So she'll thankfully have that for her whole life. And, you know, the Disney community is an incredible community. As many times as people seem to hate each other, you know, this really brought everyone together. And seeing what's happened with that GoFundMe and knowing that her future is now being taken care of as well has just been, you know, awe-inspiring and just incredible to see what's being done.
Yeah, it's really been an incredible outpouring from people. You look at the names that are out there reaching out that, you know, kind of like you said, through Disney Twitter and things like that. And like everyone has a little story about Alan. And it's like, man, he must have just spent his time just connecting with people, which is definitely not a bad thing. It's something that, you know, if you can make an impact on someone just through interacting on Twitter, that says something about your character. And it seems like that's the number one thing that people have to say, is that he was just a gentleman and he had such a good way about him. So he'll definitely sorely be missed.
It'll never make Christmas the same, that's for sure.
That's really tough too for his family, going at such a young age and that time of year. Just it's really terrible. Hopefully his wife can find some solace in the fact that people are out there and really showing their love for him and all the lives that he's impacted. You know, it would be tough. You need time to be able to look back and kind of see those things, but the outpouring of support has been really, really overwhelming. Even from afar looking at it, it's amazing to see how, like you said, all these people coming together and helping out his family in this time of need. Anything else either of you want to add? I was just going to kind of talk about the GoFundMe page that you had mentioned. So if people listening want to go visit that page, they can. But before I do that, if you guys have anything you want to add here as a final thought.
No, I mean, just thanks for reaching out to me and, you know, being a friend of his and asking me to come on and talk about him. You know, the episode we put out, it's been the hardest thing for me to ever record. And then
was hard listening to.
Yeah, so it took me about 30 minutes to record my probably about 2 minute part of it, and having to listen back to it and edit, plus it's something I don't wish upon anyone to ever have to do. It was definitely the hardest thing ever. So I appreciate you guys letting me come on and, you know, talk about a very good friend of everyone's.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't want to come on and just talk and pay lip service, and it, like, you knew him personally. Mike and I knew him from...
You knew him personally, though.
And so we wanted to get someone on to really be a testament to him, and we appreciate you coming on, Scott. I know it's been tough for you and for everyone out there that was close to him personally. So with that being said, like we mentioned, the GoFundMe link is GoFundMe.com/college-4-NORMNB8S-daughter. So that was his Twitter handle that a lot of people knew him by. And if you go to that page, you can donate if you're able, and that would really help his family out. You can also go to our Facebook page, Por Favor, at facebook.com/Por Favor Podcast, and I put that link up there. So if you look on Thursday, December 29th, while we're recording this, go to the post on that day, you'll find the link there, and I'll share it again when the episode comes out as well, so people, if they're looking for it, they can go there and check it out and hopefully be able to donate what you can. Again, Scott, thank you. Condolences go out to you and, of course, to Alan's family as well. Mike, a tough episode to record, certainly, but one we felt necessary because we did get a lot of help from those guys, and they've always been good to us over at Tiki Talk, and I was really sad to hear about Alan, and after, I'm going to take a little quick break here, and I'm going to play an episode Alan actually came on and recorded with me while you were moving down to Florida, Mike. So when you moved from Minnesota to Florida, there was like 3 or 4 episodes where you didn't have your internet up and running, and I reached out to a bunch of people, and Alan was one of the first ones to get back to me and say, yeah, I'll do this anytime you need. And he came on, and we had a really good episode. We talked about Disney movie soundtracks, and it was actually one of our most popular episodes.
Well, yeah, you replace someone who doesn't know what they're talking about with somebody who knows what they're talking about. So, of course, it was a good episode.
Of our most popular episodes, so we're going to play that episode in his memory and to honor him as well.
Hey, Scott, I got one question.
Yeah.
What was Norman Bates? What was that Twitter handle? Do you know what that was about?
So Norman Bates, as most people know, from the movie Psycho.
Correct. Yep.
He loved that movie and just something about that character. And, you know, he always had his picture on social media was Master Gracie from a Haunted Mansion. And so.
Okay.
Just his favorites. And it was also his license plate and everything else as well.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Scott. Again, appreciate you coming on. Go visit the GoFundMe page. Mike, we'll be back next week, and we'll be back to a regular episode for next week. But until then, listen to this episode from back in 2014, where Alan co-hosted with me on the Por Favor podcast. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks, buddy.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcast.
Shining at the end of every day, there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. And tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the star.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Por Favor Manténgase Alejado de las podcast. This is episode number 36, recorded from the De Fauntleroy studio in Westerly, Rhode Island. And we have a special guest in the studio. I'm not going to go under the pretense that pretending that Mike is here when he's not actually here. But this week, we've actually scored a pretty big coup. We have coveted free agent Alan from the Enchanted Tiki Talk podcast coming over as a special guest co-host here on this episode. Thanks for joining us today, Alan.
Thanks for having me, Gary. You know, I feel a little unloved sometimes in the Tiki Hut, so I'm branching out, trying to see what options are out there for me.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit before we started recording and how Mike is not much of a movie expert, and we'll get into what the episode's about, but we're going to talk a little bit about Disney movies. So I was looking out and I reached out to you, and you said that it doesn't hurt to get courted once in a while. So here you are, the Por Favor podcast has opened up the checkbook. We brought you in on the private jet into the studios, and now you're living the life of luxury here on the Por Favor podcast.
Yeah, I'm used to hanging out on a perch in a tiki hut, so the surroundings are a lot nicer. Your private jet's a lot better than my own two wings.
Very good. Well, thank you obviously very much for joining us here. And for the listeners out there who don't know who you are, you want to give a little background information and like what made you love Disney and maybe your Twitter handle and all that fun stuff to start off with?
Yeah, sure. Well, like you said, you know, my name is Alan, and I live in North Carolina, so I'm about 9 hours or so drive down to Disney. Grew up going to Disney a lot, like a lot of your listeners, I'm sure. My family, it was basically a family vacation every year, and so I come by it naturally. And then as I got older, you know, I met my wife. She's a big Disney fan, so we were perfect fit, basically. And we own a DVC that we bought in 2011, which is nice, so we get to go, especially since we bought DVC, we've gotten to go a lot more than we used to, and you know, that's no complaints from me on that end, right? So, I've been going a long time, and I grew up going, and it's a place that, you know, I have a lot of memories and look forward to have a lot of memories moving forward. And then as far as Twitter, I am at Norman Bates on Twitter. So that's NORMNB, the number 8 and the letter S. I'm a big movie fan of the movie Psycho. That's where the name comes from. So
makes sense.
Not Disney, but it's still, I love that movie.
There you go. That's good. What's your home resort? I know I've heard you guys talk about it, but for those out there listening, what's the home resort that you have?
We own it, Kidani Village, Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Nice.
Yeah.
I feel like that's great. I mean, that's probably, I've looked into it, just not like as a option right now in my life, but just out of curiosity. And that seems like the way to go in. It's ridiculously beautiful, the Animal Kingdom Lodge, and it seems like it's one of the most affordable as far as DVC goes, or the points, I guess.
Yeah, it can be. When we bought, like I said, in 2011, our options were Bay Lake Tower and Kidani Village. Those were the ones that Disney was marketing at the time. It was before Grand Floridian and obviously before the Poly, since that's still under construction. But, we went back and forth on it. The price point was better for Animal Kingdom Lodge. And plus the idea, my wife and I, we don't have kids. When we get back to the resort, we like feeling secluded, I guess. That's why we were always a big fan of Caribbean Beach Resort, because we would get one of the farthest rooms away from Port Royal, the center of Caribbean Beach Resort, and you feel like you're on your own there. And that's kind of how we felt at Animal Kingdom Lodge. It's quiet. There's not a lot of people there. The way the resort's laid out, you kind of feel like you're alone, and that's what we like. We like quiet. So it's a great resort. It's absolutely gorgeous. If you can get a Savannah view, it's amazing. I mean, I have absolutely no complaints about Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Yeah, you can't really go wrong with that place. If you're looking for peace and quiet, I mean, it doesn't get much more peaceful than be able to go out on a balcony and look over a Savannah.
Yeah,
any absolutely. Time of day.
Yeah, I mean, in the morning, at night, it's great. There's a giraffe and there's zebras and they're right there. And it's, like you said, it's calm and peaceful and you can't really do much. I mean, it's great. I've stayed at other DVC resorts. I mean, the Boardwalk is amazing. Wilderness Lodge is amazing. But it's, all of it together, we love Animal Kingdom Lodge probably the most.
Yeah. And that's a good point. You say that without kids and you're in the parks presumably most of the day and it's a lot of hustle and bustle and loud noises and sensory overload. It's nice to be able to unwind and relax when you get back to your resort.
Yeah, absolutely.
As opposed to, Pop Century, which I love, but that's just even more sensory overload. You get to a place like that at the end of the day and kids are running around and giant colorful statues everywhere, which is fun.
Yeah.
But it's a different type of stay.
Totally. I mean, Pop Century is great too. That was the first Disney resort I ever stayed at. We never stayed as a kid on Disney property. We went a lot, but my parents had timeshare, so we always stayed off property. But my first trip with my wife at the time, my girlfriend, we stayed at Pop Century for a week, and it's a great resort. I have, even though I'm DVC now, I have no qualms with the value resorts. That was where I started with staying at Disney, and then I moved up to the moderates, and now I stay at the DVC. Although I actually am going in a couple weeks, and I'm staying at Art of Animation for the first time, just to give it a try. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, and do you usually drive down or you fly or depending on prices and stuff?
It depends on what we're trying to do. This particular trip, we are flying. The last trip, we drove. And the trip before that, we flew. And the trip before that, we drove. So it's, we kind of alternate. It depends on how long we're going to stay. Depends on the prices. Just kind of everything comes in together. Like I said, it's about a 9.5 hour drive to Florida from here, nine and a half, whereas the flight, 2 hours and about $500 round trip for both of us. So it just depends if we want to drop that $500 or not.
Yeah, I would imagine if you find a good deal, you probably jump on the flight to save the driving.
Absolutely. Hassle. Yeah, you get a little bit more time down there, which is nice.
The drive down's not the problem. It's the drive home that's always terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, driving down is not that bad, but when you're leaving, you're depressed about leaving anyway, and then but you get to a point where once I get out of Orlando, out of proper Orlando, then it's like, all right, I just want to be home. I don't want to go home, but if I'm going home, can I just get home? And it takes forever to get home. Whereas on the drive down, at least you're excited about going down, and you're counting down to south of the border, and then you're counting down to Florida, and you're looking forward to something. But then it's just, I just want to be at the house. Hurry up.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, the countdowns to south of the border, that starts a lot earlier when you're driving from Rhode Island, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I'm sure. How early do they start? I've always wondered, because obviously in North Carolina, they're all over the place on 95.
Well, they've vanished basically on 95. I haven't seen them the last couple times. The first time I drove down that way, I was in college, so it was probably 2003, and I was going to Myrtle Beach to play golf on spring break, and the signs started in New Jersey. I think the first one said like 683 miles or something like that. So
wow,
that's how far up they were. And we ended up counting them, and there was something like 65 before we got to where they were about every mile, and then we gave up. So they were pretty much all over the place. And then the other time, I drove down to Myrtle Beach another time, and they didn't have them as many. And then this last time when I drove down to Orlando in February, they had hardly any until you got real close to it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously in North Carolina, and as soon as I live in central North Carolina, so we take I-40 east and then get on 95. And as soon as you get off of 40 on to 95, I mean, there's two or three of them right away. And, you know, they're fun. Most of them they're corny and they're borderline racist, to be perfectly honest, but they're fun. I love the one that says you never sausage a place. That's probably yes. My favorite one.
Yeah.
That's the one I always try to grab a picture of when we drive by.
Yeah. I think they're basically just, they start in North Carolina now. I don't think there's any north of North Carolina anymore.
That's a bummer.
No, I could be mistaken.
For the record, I never stop at south of the border. South of the border, the signs are fun, and it's fun to look at as you're going by at about 75 miles an hour, but there's absolutely no reason to stop there as far as I'm concerned.
I think I stopped for gas there one time.
All right. Well, looks like gas is fine. You can stop for gas, but don't sleep, don't stay in the little hotel that they got there.
No.
Actually, it's a motel, probably, not a hotel. But
yeah, and I think they rent by the hour, so those are probably sketchy. Do.
Yeah, that's no good, man. That's no bueno, right?
No, exactly. You don't want to see such, or saw such that place, I guess. You can't really use that in a different tense, though.
No, but it worked. I understand what you're saying. That's good. You don't want to do that, for sure.
No, exactly. All right, well, before we get even further off topic, let's get into the unofficial beer sponsor of the week, and this is a special treat because I know you have one as well. I'm going to start off with the one I'm drinking today, and it's Narragansett's Autocrat Coffee Milk Stout. They debuted this last year, and Autocrat, they're both Rhode Island companies, Narragansett Beer, and Autocrat is a coffee company in Rhode Island, and they're famous for making coffee syrup for coffee milk, which you've probably never heard of because that's a strictly Rhode Island thing. And it's basically sugary coffee syrup that you add to milk like you would chocolate milk. And it tastes like melted coffee ice cream, basically.
Sounds delicious.
But the beer does not. The beer is made with the regular coffee made by that same company, Autocrat. So it's a stout made with, it's called the coffee milk stout because it's a milk stout and it's made with the coffee. It's very dark and bitter. It's good, though. I had them last year when they first came out and I loved it. And then they brought them back this year. So I grabbed a couple 6-packs last week and cracked one open tonight for the podcast.
Excellent. That sounds delicious. I'll have to look for it. I'm not familiar with any of what you just said, but I'll have to look for it.
I know Narragansett's made its way into Florida. It like goes partially south, and then it skips over a bunch of states. I think it's as far south as Pennsylvania, and then it skips down to Florida. So maybe you'll see it down there.
Yeah, I'll look for it in the stores next time I'm in Florida. So, all right, well, I'm actually drinking... it's called 1050, F-I-D-Y, 1050 by Oscar Blues Brewery. It's an Imperial Stout. Oscar Blues is out of Colorado, but then back in 2013, they expanded a brewery in North Carolina in a town called Brevard, which is about 5 hours from where I live. But they are a brewery that they only can. They do not bottle their beer. Everything they do is in cans. Some of their more famous ones are Dale's Pale Ale. You may have heard of Dale's Pale Ale. They have Old Chubb, which is a Scotch Ale. Both of those are really good.
Oh, I've heard of both of those, yeah.
Yeah, those are their two big ones that you can see just about anywhere. But then this is 1050, their Imperial Stout, and it's amazing. The weirdest thing is it's a black and silver can, but you pop the top and it pours out motor oil black. I mean, it's absolutely thick black like motor oil, pours a slightly light brown, kind of a toffee color head, but not much because it's an Imperial Stout, so it doesn't have a lot of head on it anyway.
Right.
But it's a personal favorite of mine. It comes in 4-packs. They don't put it in 6-pack. It's 4-pack. And then the name 1050 comes because it's a 10.5% ABV. So It'll keep you warm at night for sure. But
I was gonna say a 4-pack's probably enough then.
Yeah, but 10.5%. It's one of my favorite imperial stouts. So
I'm gonna have to look for that because I love stouts and porters, and that's why this time of year is my favorite. I always stock up because you can get the stouts and porters in abundance this time of year, and then they kind of go away for a little while.
Yeah, during the spring and the summer, everybody wants those IPAs. And don't get me wrong, I love an IPA. I love a good hop aggressive beer as well. But when it's a little chilly outside, there's not much better than a thick, warm porter or stout, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. Great minds think alike.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Anything better than like Bud Light, though, right?
Oh, yeah. I'll edit that out so Mike doesn't hear it.
Oh, come on. That's why I said it.
I'm just kidding. I never edit anything out when I say I'm going to.
Yeah, you forget, right? I'll edit that out later.
Yeah, I forget. Okay, let's take a break. We'll get back into this week's topic then. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream.
Hey, Gary, it's Mike. I'm just calling. I'm back in the studio in Minneapolis all by myself. And I haven't heard back from you. I've been leaving you several messages all week, finding out if we're going to record. I was under the impression that you gave me a couple weeks vacation to move Kristen down to Venice. But now I'm kind of thinking maybe I was fired or laid off. So if you could give me a call back, I'd appreciate it. I'm thinking I might have to call the guys over at the Enchanted Tiki Talk podcast or Dixie Landings Radio and ask them for maybe a temporary sideline reporter assignment. So if you could let me know if I need to look for another job or if I can have my old job back, that would be great. Thanks, buddy. Bye.
If you do what I want you to, maybe we'd be so fine.
Okay, we're back from break, and this week's episode, I'm excited to talk about our top 10 Disney soundtracks. So Alan and I are each going to list our top 10 personal Disney movie soundtracks, and it's as simple as it sounds. I used this opportunity with Alan on the show to do a Disney movie related show topic because Mike's not much of a movie guy as far as Disney's concerned, so I figured this was as good a time as any to talk about this topic. And I think it's a pretty fun topic because people, obviously Disney movies and music go hand in hand with one another. There's so many great soundtracks on Disney movies that it was actually a pretty tough list to make. I don't know if you had some trouble narrowing yours down, but I certainly did.
I did. I picked probably right off the top of my head 15, 16, maybe 17 movies that I enjoyed the soundtrack for. So then I had narrowing it down was tough.
Yeah, I was in the same boat. I knew my top three right out of the bat.
Oh, wow. And that's impressive. I did not.
And then my 4 through 10 kind of could go in almost any order, and then after that the other ones that I also had in my short list, it was tough. And then I went through and I was looking at all the movies just in case. I was like, am I missing anything? And I went through and I tried to look at them, and then there's a few more that popped up. I was like, oh, I forgot about this one, and now I had to figure out if it went in my list or not. So it was a fun little exercise to go through. And then also one of the things we're going to do is we're going to list our personal favorite song off of each soundtrack as we pick the movie in our top 10. So I'm assuming that you prepared that as well, Alan, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. I didn't want to put you on the spot too much if you had forgotten to do that part.
No, absolutely.
No, perfect.
Ready to go.
All right, you want to kick us off then with your number 10?
Sure. For my number 10, I went with a Pixar film. I'm actually going to start with Toy Story. I love the soundtrack. Randy Newman is... To me, I mean, his voice is quirky, but I like his stuff. His songs are catchy, and I really just enjoy pretty much everything that he does. But I went with Toy Story the most, and I love the song I Will Go Sailing No More, which is played when Buzz realizes that he's a toy.
Yeah.
I love the song because it's kind of sad. It's kind of, you know, depressing because he's accepting the fact that he's not a Space Ranger, but then I especially love it because at one point it gets this upbeat, you know, kind of jazzed up verse, and Buzz climbs up and he's going to say, you know what, I'm going to fly anyway. I don't care if I'm a toy. And of course he ends up falling, but I love that part of the song. It's got a key change, a little bit of a modulation there that gives it this like pizzazz, only to turn around and go back into the sad kind of mellow song. And I love the way that he did that song. It's a great scene. And, you know, it's just a really good scene in that film.
Yeah, that is a good scene. And I didn't even think of Toy Story, but I couldn't think of many of the songs off the top of my head, but that is a good one. And it's funny you say, and I agree with you, that Randy Newman kind of has a quirky voice, but that song is very evocative, and it really brings the emotions out of that movie. And to think of, you know, kind of a silly premise of toys thinking they're real, and then also kind of a quirky guy singing the song. He always has these goofy songs to be able to get so much emotion out of that situation with that singer, just goes to show how good that song actually is. So I agree with you on that assessment.
Yeah, he's really talented, and I mean, he does most of the music for those movies, and there's a lot of really good songs.
Yes, definitely. And actually, I'll give a spoiler right now. I didn't have any Pixar movies on my top 10 list.
Oh wow, I had.
I was thinking about it, but none of them got in there.
I had two.
Okay.
So I have another one later. I think that will surprise people.
And speaking of surprising people, on my number 10 spot, this is going to be very controversial.
Uh-oh.
And you probably know where I'm going
with this. I know where you're going with how do you even go in there, but go ahead.
And it's Frozen.
Ah!
And take out what they did with Maelstrom and how Disney's shoving this movie down our throat, and it's also almost making people dislike the movie now at this point. But the soundtrack still holds up from that movie. And I really, when I first saw the movie, I wasn't necessarily sold on the movie itself, but I couldn't get the soundtrack out of my head. And my favorite song from that movie is Love is an Open Door, which is sung at the beginning with Anna and Hans. And he's actually, obviously, the villain in the movie. No spoilers, I don't think, at this point, since everybody
I haven't seen it yet. No, I'm kidding.
But I think that's such a catchy song, and obviously, you know, Let It Go would be the obvious choice for the best song. That's not my favorite song on the soundtrack. Love's an Open Door is my favorite, and I think it's still a good soundtrack, despite how Disney's trying to bash us over the head with this movie until we're all beaten into submission, but still made my top 10, so that came in at number 10 for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're spot on. You know, in this kind of event here, you sometimes you have to kind of throw out whether the movie's, you know, great or bad or mediocre, or in this case, you know, a good movie that maybe is just being force fed a little too much to us. You know, bottom line is this is about the soundtrack, and that soundtrack is extremely good. I mean, the music is, there's so many great songs on there. To be perfectly honest, anything Idina Menzel does is pretty much going to be perfect because she's just a great performer. So
I mean, that's a Broadway quality soundtrack.
Oh, it is, absolutely, and with Broadway quality performers doing the songs. So, you know, I mean, Idina Menzel was in Wicked, and you know, to name just the most famous one that she's done, I guess, and
right.
And she's just extremely talented. And Frozen, while it did not make my list, it actually was one that was on my original 15, 16, 17 list that I whittled down. Okay. So I guess you could call it an honorable mention at this point. So
not as much backlash as I was expecting.
Oh, no, not at all. I don't love Frozen, but I don't hate Frozen. You know, you may notice I don't get involved in too many of those discussions on Twitter.
Yeah,
the anti-Maelstrom, pro-Maelstrom thing. I was sad to see it go, but you know, life goes on as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's true.
So not to bring up Maelstrom in Frozen.
Yeah, exactly.
That's another topic for another show.
Yes. Speaking of moving on, let's go to our number 9. So
speaking of letting it go, my number 9 is from, this is not something that it's kind of a controversial movie, but not in the same sense as Frozen. But I'm going to go with Song of the South. Ah. Obviously a controversial movie for obvious reasons. But have you ever had a chance to watch it? I mean, I know it's not released here, but I've seen it. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. And I don't want to spoil probably your favorite song from it, but it has a very famous song that everyone that's listening to this podcast probably knows Zippity Doodah, but
of course
I don't. I haven't seen it all the way through. I've seen clips of it, and I know where the controversy lies, and I don't know really if it's the most controversial Disney movie. If you look at a movie like Peter Pan, which might be more racist than Song of the South is,
yeah.
But that, again, that's another topic for another show. But the controversy is well bandied about, and people come down on both sides of that issue. But again, taking that all away, the soundtrack is very good. So why don't you go into a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think most of us that are Disney fans know a lot of the music from Splash Mountain at
right.
the Magic Kingdom. You know, Zippity Doo Dah, Everybody's Got a Laugh in Place, How Do You Do? I mean, all of those are songs from the movie that made it into the attraction. So all of those songs are great. Splash Mountain happens to be my favorite attraction. So, of course, these songs, even though I've seen the movie, they play more to my love of Splash Mountain. But I did choose Zippity Doo Dah. You didn't spoil it, but you know, it's just such a classic Disney song. I mean, everybody in the world knows Zippity Doo Dah.
Yeah.
Whether they've seen Song of the South, whether they know that it comes from that movie, everybody in the world knows Zippity Doo Dah. So that's why I chose it. I mean, it's a personal favorite, but you also have to give it credit for being a truly universal song. Like I said, everybody knows Zippity Doo Dah.
Yes, definitely. And before I get into my number 9, I wanted to take you to task. I was going to call into the Tiki hotline and leave a voicemail, but I was at work, so I didn't have a chance when it was fresh in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you had your top 5 overall attraction show a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I noticed that none of the three of you had Carousel of Progress in your top 5, and I just assumed that you all decided, since it was obviously the best attraction, that you would just omit it. For those reasons, instead of, like, obviously bogging down your top 5s, or...
Of course.
Or what happened there? I was a little confused. I kept waiting for it and waiting for it, and it never came up, so...
I enjoy Carousel of Progress. I really do. I love Carousel of Progress. It's a must-do, sometimes multiple times per trip, but it just didn't make the cut at that exact moment.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
No,
I liked your list anyway. I'm just... That definitely would have been in my top 5. That's all.
Yeah, no, it's a great attraction. I think the boring attraction I went with was Spaceship Earth, if you want to call it boring.
Right, I know what you mean.
Boring in relative terms.
Maybe the passed over attraction.
Yes, that's a better word.
I know what you mean. Anyway, I was just giving you a hard time. Anyway.
No, yeah, absolutely. I should have listened. When we do that episode again, I'll make sure it makes my top 5.
All right, good.
Next time.
Good. Yes. Perfect. My number 9. And it's another recent one, and I went with Tangled.
Okay.
And I specifically had those two as 10 and 9 because I think Tangled is better than Frozen, and I like the soundtrack better. I really like the movie Tangled. I think it's beautifully done, computer animated. I think the story's good. I like all the characters in it. And my favorite song from that is I Had a Dream, which is the one that they sing in the Snuggly Duckling with all the bruisers and the villains, so to speak, even though they're not villains, really. But I just love it. It's so fun, and you have some really great comedians singing in that. You have Jeffrey Tambor and Brad Garrett, and even my favorite comedian, who doesn't really get much of a billing, but Paul F. Tompkins is the Cupid character in that, who has a quick line in it. But anyway, I'm a kind of a comedy nerd, so I like a lot of those guys, and the fact that that song was upbeat and fun and funny, it really is my favorite song from that movie, and that movie has a lot of really good songs, and I think that soundtrack holds up really well, and that movie gets overshadowed by Frozen, but I think it's a better overall movie, and the soundtrack is a little better as well, in my opinion.
I'm going to be honest and say I've never seen Tangled.
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay. It's one of the few, you know, I mean, I try to see these movies, but sometimes it just doesn't work out, and I'm not avoiding Tangled. I've just never seen it. I've never seen Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh,
I never saw
really...
Princess and the Frog. I'm not avoiding those. I just
haven't seen
just
it.
Haven't come across. I just haven't had the opportunity to see them. I don't know why. So I will not argue your point about Tangled, since I've never seen it.
Yeah, you got to check it out. The soundtrack is really good. It's worth it just for the sound. If you're into the soundtracks, then it's worth it for that. Instead of belaboring that point, let's move on to your number 8.
All right, my number eight is my second Pixar film, and another one that I think is going to kind of come out of left field, but I enjoy the soundtrack to Cars.
Okay.
If you've ever had a chance to listen to the soundtrack, it's actually one of the few Disney soundtracks that I actually own the album for, or I mean, own it on my iPod, of course. But, I mean, it's got great stuff. Life is a Highway by Tom Cochran, but it's performed by Rascal Flatts. That's on there. There's a Sheryl Crow song that was done for the movie. Brad Paisley, who happens to be my favorite country singer, he does two songs. That old Shaboom song by the Chords. I mean, I know you would know it if you heard it. That's on there.
I know the one, yeah.
Yeah, Route 66 by Chuck Berry is on there. There's a Hank Williams song on there. I mean, these are, you know, top-notch acts that put this album together, and it's just an absolutely fantastic soundtrack. My favorite song on there, though, is Our Town, which was written by Randy Newman, but it was performed by James Taylor. And that's a really great song. It starts out with long ago, but not so very long ago. So it's kind of the flashback scene when they're flashing back to what Radiator Springs was before the highway came through.
Right.
And it kind of goes through the story of Radiator Springs. And I really love the song. I really love the emotion in the song. Nobody could have performed it better than James Taylor. James Taylor's, he's a North Carolina guy. So, you know, props for that. But I mean, just such a great song and a really, really great soundtrack. Like I said, it's one of, I think I have two Disney soundtracks that I keep on my iPod. This one and one more that is going to make my list a little later that I'll go into later. But that's such a great soundtrack. Give it a shot if you haven't listened to it.
I haven't actually listened to the soundtrack all the way through, but as you were naming the songs, I remember the parts where they're in the movie. And it made me think that's kind of a departure for Disney films in having already released songs, for the most part, as part of the soundtrack. Most of the Disney movies, they write the song specifically for the movie, at least the animated ones.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they did that makes it unique, but it also, it stands out, almost stands out more that they did that than that they wrote their own. And I could see where you're coming from with that. It didn't make my list personally, but It's a good choice. After you were going through those songs, I was like, yeah, you know what? That is a pretty good soundtrack.
Yeah, it's a really good mix of the old songs like Route 66 and Life is a Highway. I mean, those are obviously classic songs and Shaboom. But then, you know, the Brad Paisley songs were written by Brad Paisley for this movie. The Our Town that I was talking about was written for this movie. So it's a good mix of classic standby that everybody's going to know, but also new music, but still, I hate to use the term because I don't like when people call music pop music, but still pop music that, you know, was written for this film as opposed to the musical version that you're so used to with Disney animated movies.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I see. Yeah, that's a good choice. I wouldn't have thought of it, but now that you mention it, I do like that.
So. Yeah, I thought that one would be kind of out of left field. People probably wouldn't expect it, but it's a really, really great soundtrack.
Okay, and then I'll move on to my number eight, and this one is back in the normal musical Disney soundtrack, and this one basically, at least for me, started the, well, not for me, for anyone, it basically started the Disney Renaissance, the second one, in The Little Mermaid. Alan Menken came up with a great soundtrack for that movie, and you can't even think of The Little Mermaid without busting into one of the songs, and there's just so many great songs in that, and even just the score in there is perfect from the beginning of the movie, but my favorite song, and you'll kind of get a theme out of these, that I like a lot of the ensemble songs, so I like mm-hmm. Under the Sea, obviously sung by Sebastian, is trying to convince Ariel that life's better under the sea, and it's a fun song, upbeat, and it just really brings... It's one of the most important parts of the movie where it's kind of getting to the crux of the plot is that she has to choose between staying under the sea or going to the land. And obviously, you know, the choice that she made in the end, but I think the song's done, the scene's beautiful with all the different sea animals playing their instruments and everything like that. And it's done well. And I think that movie started that second Renaissance and that type of soundtrack really carried over, and you'll see a theme in a few of my next picks as to my favorites among those.
You're absolutely spot on with all that. Little Mermaid did not make my list. Another honorable mention, though, it was in my original 16. I'm not going to have any honorable mentions left by the end of this because you're going to say them all. But, you know, you're right. It really did kind of not only just rejuvenate Disney animation, but it brought back that Disney musical, if you want to call it that. That
right.
That really, you know, there was a good stretch there where I'm sure that the rest of the films in that stretch are probably on your list and my list. We'll find out here soon, I'm sure. But Alan Menken is just brilliant. He's so good at what he does. I love Alan Menken's music.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with any of the movies that he's done soundtracks on.
Nope. So that's definitely a good choice there. So moving on, I guess, to my number. I think we're on number 7 now.
Yep.
Another one that's going to probably surprise some people, but Fantasia 2000.
Oh.
I'm a sucker for classical music anyway. I mean, I like a lot of music. I listen to everything, heavy metal, country, you know, R&B, whatever. But I like classical music too. So I love Fantasia 2000. I love the cartoons, the animation over the classical score and the way they, you know, come up with a cartoon to kind of match the music. So for Fantasia 2000, my absolute favorite piece of American or music by an American composer is Rhapsody in Blue by George Gershwin. Mm-hmm. I love that song. And that's in Fantasia 2000. That's the sole purpose the sole reason this movie made my top 10, because I absolutely love Rhapsody in Blue. And you would know Rhapsody in Blue. If you don't know it by name, you would know it by tune. If you Google it and listen to Rhapsody in Blue, you'll know it. I think there was an airline that used to use it back in the 90s. I want to say it was Delta, maybe.
The one goes, dun, 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 yep. Dun, 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 dun. That's what I sing. I worked at a classical radio station, believe it or not.
Before. Really? Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't into the music as much. I did the news, but that's neither here nor there.
But that's the one, yeah. That's the song. That's Rhapsody in Blue by Gershwin. Like I said, really one of my... It's easily my favorite piece by an American composer. That's why I made my list. I love Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue.
Yeah, I've never seen the reboot of Fantasia. And actually, the original, I've seen like 3/4 of it. I don't think I've ever made it the whole way through. So
it's a tough one for people to get through if you don't enjoy classical music. My grandfather was big into classical music when I was little, which is probably where my love of it comes from. Because
yeah.
I'd visit my grandparents. We'd sit there and... in the living room, and we listened to his old records of classical music, and he had Fantasia on VHS, and we would watch Fantasia together. So
nice.
You know, it's something that obviously has memory to me, and that's where my love of classical music comes from.
Yeah, nice. That's a good memory and a good reason to put it on the list as well. Can't go wrong with the classical music. There's a reason it's classical music.
It's a reason it's been around forever.
Yes, exactly.
And people still perform those songs.
Yep, exactly. So I'll move on to my number 7, and you already said that you haven't seen this, and it's Princess and the Frog. And it's got that... I know our friends over at Dixie Landings Radio are going to love this choice with the Bayou sound from that movie, and There's so many great songs. This one, I think I had the hardest time choosing my favorite song off this soundtrack because I like them all very much and they go together pretty well and in the flow of the movie. But I decided to go with the villain's song, sung by Dr. Facilier, Friends on the Other Side. My wife doesn't like that song because the animation actually creeps her out a little bit in that. But I love the song, and all the songs in that movie are great. I won't go into too much detail since you haven't seen it, so describing it would kind of be fruitless at this point. But needless to say, he's a voodoo doctor, and he's singing about that, about how he can help them because he has friends on the other side, as this title says. And it's a great song, and it's a great soundtrack, especially if you like any kind of bayou down south Louisiana-style music. It has the Zydeco in a couple of the songs, and that classic sound of the bayou, I guess, is the best way I can describe it, lack of a better word. But overall, it's a great soundtrack. It really brings the tone of that movie out perfectly.
That's probably the only song from the soundtrack that I know, and it is a really good song. And I do know Dr. Facilier. He's a pretty popular villain, so I do know who he is, and I kind of know what he was, what his character is, you know, who he was based on, and that is a good song. Absolutely a good song.
All right, let's move on to number six.
All right, for dive number six, we're going to go classic Disney World here, and or not Disney World, but classic Disney, and I believe we would both be remiss if we did a top 10 Disney soundtrack without mentioning something by one Robert and Richard Sherman. So, of course, that's going to be Mary Poppins. It honestly should be probably higher on my list, but it isn't Mary Poppins. I chose Chim Chim Cherie as my favorite song from Mary Poppins. I love the kind of minor, as opposed to major tone, the kind of minor tone to that song. Or, you know, I love it. I mean, and any of the songs from there are great. Supercalifragilistic, that's obviously great. Jolly Holiday, Spoonful of Sugar. You know, Feed the Birds, which was Walt's favorite from the stories that everybody says. You can't go wrong with anything from that movie, but I did choose Chim Chim Cherie.
Very good. Not to spoil it, but that's on my list. We'll hear from a little more about that a little bit later.
All right.
And I can't disagree with anything you said there, except your positioning.
Yeah, like I said, it could be ranked a lot higher, and I won't argue that point. That's just where it happened to fit when I was kind of trying to list everything.
Fair enough. And my number six is back to the second Renaissance, and I think it's an overlooked movie as far as Disney movie goes. It kind of fell in between a few of the more popular ones, and that's Mulan. And I think that soundtrack is just really good, and I think the movie is fantastic, actually. I think it's a much overlooked Disney animated classic as far as, hey, most of them are pretty popular. It's not in the realm of that kind of quote-unquote dead period from the late 70s to the late 80s where the movies got basically ignored for the most part, but I think people don't really hold it in as high regard as some of the other ones from that same era. And the song that I chose is I'll Make a Man Out of You, and that one, another one that you can sense a theme, those kind of ensemble casts where all the characters are singing and it brings the action of the movie together and moves the plot along. And I don't know, those exposition type songs I really enjoy. So that one made my list, and that probably wouldn't make most people's top 10, but I had to put it on there because my wife introduced me to that movie, and the first time I watched it, I was like, how have I not seen this? And this soundtrack is just incredible. So it's one of those that if we're going to sit down and watch a movie, it's usually one of the first ones that we'll agree on. If we say, oh, let's watch a Disney movie. Which one? How about Mulan? Okay, well, can't go wrong with that one. So had to make it on my list for that reason, at least.
Absolutely. You have a personal connection to it. I know that song. That's a good song. But Mulan is – I've never seen Mulan. There was a stretch where – I went through a stretch where I loved Disney as a kid, and then I went through, like a lot of – probably a lot of boys did. I went through a stretch where Disney wasn't cool anymore, and that was basically in high school. And so Hercules, Tarzan, Mulan all came out when I was in high school, and I just didn't have time for that. You know, I was doing other things. I was in high school. I was doing high school stuff. Going to see a Disney movie was not on the agenda. And then after I got out of high school, I realized, you know what? It is cool. And it's, if I like it, it's cool. I don't care what anyone else thinks. And I got back into being a Disney nerd. And, but I just never went back and watched those movies.
I'm in the same boat as you, but I kind of made up the ground. I went back and watched a lot of them that I did miss. And even the same ones you mentioned, like Hercules and Tarzan and Mulan, for example, that I skipped over when they came out, and then went back and watched them. I was like, wow, these were really, really well put together, good movies. So
yeah,
I'm in the same boat. It was that same time period, presumably, you know, high school, college age, and just didn't have time for it, like you said. But then you go back and you can appreciate them for what they were and what they are still.
Yeah, absolutely. I keep thinking one day I'll go back and I'll watch those movies that I never saw. I just, you know, add it to the list with Wreck-It Ralph and all the ones I listed earlier.
Well, I will say, if you have Netflix, they're on there. Mulan's on Netflix Instant.
Yeah, I do have Netflix. I'm in the middle of a binge of Doctor Who. I started watching Doctor Who, and I'm trying to get through that. So
once it's I get only started, so many hours in the day.
Yeah, exactly. And I work two jobs. I don't have all that much time. So
between two jobs, podcasting, drinking beer. There's only so much time in the day.
That's right. And you got to prioritize. Beer exactly. is more important than Mulan. Sorry, Mulan.
That's okay. I understand.
One of these days.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to number five. I'm going back to the classical music, and this time we're going to go with Fantasia, the original. I mentioned obviously why I love Fantasia with my memory with my grandfather. And then it ties in. I love A Night on Bald Mountain is my favorite from Fantasia. And that's kind of ties in with my favorite Disney villain. Well, maybe not my favorite, but one of my favorites is Chernabog, you know, the giant devil looking guy with the wings.
Yep.
And that's the song. A Night on Bald Mountain is the song that plays during that cartoon with Chernabog. And it's just such a creepy song and a creepy cartoon. And I just love it. It always kind of scared me when I was a kid, but looking back at it now, I really enjoy it.
Nice. Good choice.
So Fantasia there, number five.
My number five, and I'm sticking with this same new renaissance, and I'm going with Aladdin for number five. And again, a lot of the same reasons. It's an Alan Menken soundtrack, which he obviously hit his stride there. He had a period of over 10 years where he just cranked him out in these classic movies that came out that everyone knows and loves today, and Aladdin just fits right in the list, and my favorite song from that is Friend Like Me. Obviously, Robin Williams is Genie singing that one. And again, another one of those kind of ensemble, moving the plot along songs. You sense a theme with the ones that I like, but it's just such a classic, and you can't think of the movie Aladdin without thinking of Genie, one of the most iconic characters that Disney's probably ever created, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Robin Williams really left his fingerprints all over. I mean, it was Robin Williams. You could say it's Genie, but that was Robin Williams. He didn't do a fake voice for it or anything. It was just him being a crazy comedian that he was.
Yeah, and it was him doing his shtick. Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliantly. It was perfect. And no one else could have done it.
No, exactly. And that song was great, and it added so much to that movie. And I mean, I can't imagine what that movie would have been like without Robin Williams, like you were just saying. And that song, just a fantastic song amongst a group of great songs, and that's my favorite song from that. So that was my number five, Aladdin.
Absolutely agree with you. I don't want to glaze over it, but that's coming up later for me, so I'll move on to my number four. I am a sucker for Tim Burton, and I'm a sucker for Danny Elfman. So obviously my number four is The Nightmare Before Christmas. A Tim Burton film, and Danny Elfman did the music, and I love Danny Elfman. Him and Burton work together a lot,
right?
And I love Elfman's music. He's another one of the modern movie composers that I really enjoy just about everything he does. My favorite song, and Lord knows I love them all. This is the other Disney soundtrack that I keep on my iPod is this one, but I love Kidnap the Sandy Claus with Lock, Shock, and Barrel when they're plotting how they're going to kidnap Santa Claus and throw away the key and all that stuff. It's such a great, fun little song. Lock, Shock, and Barrel are fun characters, and you know they're kind of there and then they're gone again. They're just there for a little bit. And this is a song where they get to shine a little bit, and I love that song.
That one made my honorable mention.
Okay,
because I kind of had my top list, like you said, you narrowed it down, and I went back and looked, and I was like, oh yeah, Nightmare Before Christmas. I almost forgot about it, even though I just watched it on Halloween, as I usually try to watch it this time of year, every year. And I didn't realize until this year, when I was watching the credits, that Danny Elfman actually sang the songs that Jack Skellington was singing.
Yeah, he's Jack's singing voice, yeah.
Right, I didn't realize that, and I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty interesting, and I didn't know that, so I learned something again watching it for another time. And yeah, the soundtrack, that's one of those, maybe this is... some people probably wouldn't agree with this, but I think the soundtrack's better than the movie. Personally, I think the soundtrack holds up better than the movie, which the movie's still fantastic, and it's great to look at. And it, I guess you could say it for most of these that are in this list, you couldn't have that movie without the soundtrack, but the soundtrack can stand alone without the movie.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. Yeah, absolutely.
Hard to explain because obviously they're musicals, so you need the music to make the movie work anyway. But yeah, it's a great soundtrack. And I think if I hadn't forgotten it when I made my initial list, it might have cracked my top 10, but it wouldn't have been as high as yours. but definitely a great soundtrack. And that's one that I came to a little later on. I only saw it for the first time maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So I started watching it every year around Halloween time, and I've grown to love it.
Yeah, it's an absolutely great movie. It's one of my favorites. Like I said, I'm a sucker for Tim Burton anyway. So, but you're right. I think the music probably does hold up a little bit better than the movie does, but I love the movie.
Definitely. Okay, I'll move on to my number four, and we're still in the same time period with Beauty and the Beast. And this one could have been maybe a little higher, but like I said, my top three, which we'll get into, I had right out of the gate. I knew those were my top three in that order. And then my 4 through 10 could have been in almost any order, but this one I feel like is the most universally loved of the 4 through 10 that I have on my list, and Beauty and the Beast. And that soundtrack is just obviously the award-winning, and they made a Broadway show out of it, and people love it. I mean, they've made a whole restaurant in Walt Disney World based on one of the songs, for goodness sake, called Be Our Guest. And that's not the song that I like the best out of that movie. The one I like is Gaston, which is another villain song. So I like the villains' songs, and I like those ensemble songs. So many good songs to choose from in that movie. Be Our Guest, Something's There, all those classic movies, classic songs from that movie. And I guess it's just a testament to how good the soundtrack is that it's difficult to choose the best song out of that soundtrack. But I'll go with Gaston as my personal favorite and say that soundtrack just from top to bottom is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, Beauty and the Beast is a spectacular film and a spectacular soundtrack. It's on my list a little later, so I will glaze over that one again.
Perfect.
But I will go back with my number three. We'll go back to what you chose with Aladdin. So Aladdin slots in my number three, and actually I chose Friend Like Me as well for all the exact same reasons you said. I mean, it's perfect. It's Robin Williams doing Robin Williams, and he was – while he worked a little bit blue in some of his comedy was spectacular. I mean, every stand-up I ever saw of him was great, and every impression he did was great. And that's what Friend Like Me is. It was just Robin Williams doing Robin Williams. Could not have been any better than what it was. It's really one of the more perfect Disney characters and Disney songs, in my opinion. So I love Be Our Friends, or Be Our Friend. Friend Like Me, sorry. Friend Like Me in there at number three.
That's a little crossover between Jerry Orbach and Robin Williams, Be Our Friend.
Yes. Oh, Jerry Orbach. I loved him.
Yeah. Well, maybe they're doing that crossover together right now.
Maybe so. Yeah. They're doing a Be Our Friend or Guest Like Me, one of the other.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So since we've talked about Aladdin for enough, I can't really say too much about that. It's a great movie, but
right.
We both agree on that Friend Like Me being a great song, and obviously, Genie being a great character. But moving on to my number three, and I think, well, I don't want to be presumptuous, but I assume this is probably also in maybe in your list, and it's The Lion King, which maybe not, maybe it's not. But that's my number three. It was immediately up to my number three spot, and I've always loved this movie. It's, at times, I've said it's my favorite Disney movie. That's one of those things how you were talking about earlier, your attractions that can change on a daily basis. Well, my favorite Disney movie can change on a daily basis as well. But that's been always in my top three or four favorite Disney movies. And the soundtrack's great. I've always loved Elton John. Growing up, my father's a huge Elton John fan and Billy Joel fan. So that style of music. And then when he did the soundtrack for Lion King, it just worked perfectly. And that movie's just so great, such a great movie. And my favorite song, and probably won't be surprised, is Hakuna Matata. A lot to choose from again in that movie as far as great songs go, but I went with Hakuna Matata, probably the most upbeat and fun from there. And we got Timon and Pumbaa and Simba singing it all together. And just, it's a great moment in the movie. It's an iconic song and from an iconic movie, really. It's hard to imagine that there's two ahead of that on my list, but two did make it past there, and I'm interested to see what your top two are as well, Alan.
Well, since we're on the subject, my number two is The Lion King.
Okay. I would have been pretty surprised if it didn't make your top 10.
Yeah, I mean, it's It's absolutely it's really one of the more perfect soundtracks, top to bottom. Just so many great songs. Obviously, I'm a fan of Elton John as well. And I love that another one of my, I keep coming back to, you know, modern day cinema composers that I enjoy, but another one is Hans Zimmer, and he arranged and produced a lot of the music for The Lion King. And Hans Zimmer is another really great, you know, modern day, still working guy. At least I think he's still working. But anyway, Elton John's great, but I actually chose Circle of Life as my favorite song from that, and I think honestly it's for the intro with the African vocals.
Yes.
I mean, that literally gives me goosebumps when I hear it performed, when I hear it performed well. Everybody likes to jokingly mess around with it, but when I hear it performed well, it gives me goosebumps. And I think part of that stems from having seen it on Broadway. Well, I didn't see it on Broadway, but I saw the Broadway production of it.
Right.
And if you haven't seen the Lion King Broadway production, it's definitely worth seeing. Even if you're not into musicals, it's worth going to see. The opening number is hands down the best scene in a Broadway show that I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of Broadway shows, traveling shows on Broadway in New York, even over in London. I've seen shows. The opening to The Lion King, all the animals come out, they come down the aisles, and the opening is just so amazing. Circle of Life gives me goosebumps. I just love that song. It's something that it screams Disney to me, you know, and I just love it.
Can't disagree with that. I almost chose Circle of Life. I was trying to pick maybe not the most popular songs off the soundtrack. Just, I guess that's just how I am, a kind of a contrarian by nature.
Right.
And that's kind of why I didn't go with Circle of Life, as it's such a great song, like you said. But I went with Hakuna Matata, which really can't go wrong with that. But either way, obviously a great soundtrack, and Circle of Life is just incredible song, and that beginning, like you said, is just fantastic. Anytime you hear it when you pop in the DVD or even at the festival Lion King show,
mm-hmm.
It's just incredible to hear that perform well, like you said.
Yeah, it's a great song.
My number two, and you talked about the Sherman Brothers, and I think this is the quintessential Sherman Brothers. Well, let's see how I want to word this. One where they had maybe the most fun and the most playful soundtrack that they came up with, and my number two is The Jungle Book.
Nice.
I love that movie. Everything about it is just pitch perfect for me. The story's great. The characters are fantastic, and the music is just so good. And I kind of rediscovered it. The Blu-ray was released earlier this year, and I ended up buying it, and I've watched it maybe three times since then again. And you almost forget about some of the songs in there if you haven't seen it recently. The songs by the Vultures, you know, We're Your Friend, and then Colonel Hawthey's March. Just these shorter songs, they're probably like 2 minutes each, but they're just fun and well put together, and they work perfectly in the movie. But the one I went with was Bare Necessities, which, again, is that's probably the most popular song from the movie. So I had to go with that one. And it's just a great song, and two great characters with Baloo and Mowgli just getting to know each other and becoming friends. And it's just one of the best Disney songs, in my opinion, and one of the best Disney movies, and obviously my second favorite Disney soundtrack. So there's not much more I can say about The Jungle Book, and except I hope they don't ruin it with this live remake they're putting together right now.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great one. It didn't even dawn on me. I'm actually, once you said it, I was kind of ashamed that it never clicked for me. That's a great soundtrack. It's got great songs on it. I Want to Be Like You is a good one. That's one of my favorites.
Yes, that's a great one as well.
So, and what's the other one? Man's Red Fire, is that what it's called?
Yes. Well, that's the same song.
Is it?
Well, he mentions it in that, I Want to Be Like You. What I Desire is Man's Red Fire. Da 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 do, oh doobie doo, I Want to Be Like You.
Okay, right. Maybe I'm thinking of like a reprise or something later. I was thinking they were two separate songs. But anyway, that's a great album, great movie. I'm ashamed that it didn't even make my top 15. It just never even crossed my mind.
That's why you need Wikipedia to go through the list.
Yeah, I probably should have used Wikipedia to go all the way through and remembered some of the more, well, not obscure. There's nothing obscure about The Jungle Book, but...
ones just, in the back of your mind, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, I guess that brings us back down to number one.
Number one indeed. All right, let's hear it.
So you've already touched on the movie. Beauty and the Beast is my favorite soundtrack. The song specifically, for a personal reason, is Be Our Guest. When my wife and I got married, we wanted something Disney-ish, but we didn't know what. And so we set it up where at our reception, we had like a waiting area with a bar and everything. And then the main dining room, we had the door shut and we had our DJ play Be Our Guest with the whole intro, you know, where Lumiere is, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we proudly present your dinner. And then the doors opened so everybody could go in and eat. So that was our Disney touch to our wedding. So for a personal reason, Be Our Guest is a favorite of mine. And it's a great song anyway. It's so much fun to sing and, you know, listen to, and the words. Most everybody knows the lyrics, you know, Charlie Gray stuff, It's Delicious, all that stuff. It's such a great, fun little song. And then the rest of the album is amazing anyway. Something There is good. Obviously, Beauty and the Beast is good. Gaston's song is good. There's really nothing bad on there. It's another Alan Menken masterpiece. Him and Howard Ashman really worked well together. It's another masterpiece by them. I mean, you said it. It's, you know, award-winning, and there's obvious reasons why it's an award-winning soundtrack.
Yes, definitely, and it's such a great soundtrack, and I talked about it for my reasons, and I like the personal touch that you had. That's cool. I can picture it when the doors finally open, everyone goes into the dining room playing that. That's fun. That's a nice little homage and a nice touch to have in there as well, to have that personal connection to it.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun little Disney touch, and still kept it. We tried to keep our wedding kind of classy, but that was a nice way to throw Disney in there and still keep it kind of classy.
Nice.
So you're number one. What you got?
My number one. Well, you had it on your list, and I probably spoiled it. If the sharp-eared listeners have been paying attention, they know that my number one is Mary Poppins.
Mm-hmm.
So my top two are Sherman Brothers soundtracks, and
deservedly.
Yes. Well, I mean, my top 10. If you look at, I think 7 of the 10 are either Menken or the Sherman Brothers. So
yeah,
you can see where. I mean, those are obviously the most famous and most awarded, obviously, that they've had anyway, that Disney's had for their musical composers and soundtrack writers and all that. But I just think Mary Poppins is maybe the perfect Disney movie in so much as it has Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke, two classic, iconic actors playing easily their most famous roles, each of them, in that movie. It mixes the animation in with the live action, has a great soundtrack, a great story, and just everyone knows it. Most people can relate to it, and it's just such a fantastic movie. I don't know that I would say it's my favorite Disney movie, but the soundtrack is just so good on that movie that it's hard to top that. And I guess any of the top four from mine between Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, Jungle Book, and Mary Poppins could make that number one spot for me. But as soon as I came up with this idea to do this show, Mary Poppins was in my number one spot right away. I think seeing Saving Mr. Banks made me appreciate it even more when I was able to see that movie in the theaters last year. Mm-hmm. And going back and watching it again after seeing Saving Mr. Banks just made me love and appreciate that movie and that soundtrack even more. And not to beat on a dead horse, but I picked the same song, Chim Chim Cheree, as my favorite from that, but it could have been anything, obviously. Spoonful of Sugar, like you said, Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, any of the songs. I like even the banking song, which is a silly song that they have in the bank, obviously, when they're talking about investing the tuppence from the kids.
That's a really fun song.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. There's very serious and very emotional songs, like Feed the Birds, and but then there's the silly ones with the kids when they talk about the nanny. I can't even remember the names of them, the proper names of the songs, but what they want in a nanny when they're making the list about it, and the laughing song, where the guy's on the ceiling. I mean, just so many great songs. And I mean, that movie's just chock full of fantastic songs and great actors. And it's just such a great, great song. And I mean, how can you forget Jolly Holiday, another great song in there as well. That was easily my number one for the soundtracks for me, and I think it's second to none, obviously, on my list, and be hard-pressed to convince me otherwise.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I said when I put it on my list that, you know, it probably belonged higher. I had, you know, personal connections to some of the movies that beat out Mary Poppins for me. But you're right. It's probably the most quintessential Disney movie ever. I mean, mixing animation with live action, fantastic score. Like you said, I mean, definitely Dick Van Dyke's best film role ever. And most likely Julie Andrews as well, with the exception of maybe The Sound of Music. I mean, right, obviously that was argument. Iconic there, but yeah. You know, still, it's 1A and 1B, really, if you ask Definitely. Me. And the Sherman Brothers were just, they were great. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with Mary Poppins. It's not my favorite movie either. I respect it for what it is. I respect it for what they did and what Walt did at that time with that movie. You know, it's almost exactly Disney. I mean, nothing, there's very, very little that you could say that is more Disney than Mary Poppins.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that, obviously. It was my number one, so I obviously agree with what you're saying, and a perfect way to end the list for me anyway, and obviously Beauty and the Beast, another great choice, so both of our number ones, can't really go wrong with any of them, and really the whole top tens, there's just so many good ones to choose from. It's not like, sometimes you'll make a list, a top ten, and you're kind of grasping at straws to fill out that bottom few.
Yeah.
Whereas the bottom few were as tough as the top few for me, just trying to figure out what I wanted to include and what I could omit.
It was hard to eliminate a few. I mean, obviously, I mentioned earlier Frozen was a great soundtrack and almost made my list. You mentioned The Little Mermaid almost made my list. Two others that they kind of eliminated at the end were Lilo and Stitch is actually a really fun soundtrack. I love Hawaiian Roller Coaster. It's a great song. A lot of Elvis songs on there. And if you don't like Elvis, you're not going to like the Lilo and Stitch soundtrack, but I can handle some Elvis. So I really enjoyed the soundtrack to that movie. And one that's kind of surprising, I think, would be Remember the Titans. I thought was a pretty good soundtrack. They had a lot of those, I guess that was the 60s. They had a lot of those like 60s, you know,
Spirit in the Sky.
Yeah. A lot of the music that's just fun music. It's good music. So that was one that actually made my list, with a little help. Someone mentioned that one to me, and I was like, oh, that is a good soundtrack. Thank you.
Yeah.
And didn't make the cut, but it was definitely one that I said, that is really good. Good call on that one. That was actually Matt from Dixie Landings. He told me that one.
Nice. My honorable mention that I came up with, and my honorable mention list is almost as long as my top 10, but I had these two fighting out for the final spot, and then I forgot about Tangled. I almost omitted it entirely, and so I had to put it in. But Hunchback of Notre Dame and Hercules were battling it out. So those two, very close together, and both have great soundtracks for different reasons. And the tones of those soundtracks are very different, but I love them both. A couple Muppet movies made my honorable mention is Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's my favorite Christmas movie of all time. I love the Muppet Christmas Carol. Some great original songs that they wrote for that. Just a fantastic soundtrack on that. And then Muppet's Most Wanted, the most recent one. Love the soundtrack to that movie. I can't get enough of it. I saw it the first time this summer on Blu-ray, and I've been listening to the music to that ever since. I love the Flight of the Conchords anyway, so to have Brett McKenzie, who wrote the music for that movie, and one of the members of Flight of the Conchords, and he just did a great job and hit the tone perfectly for Muppets, and I love that. I mentioned Nightmare Before Christmas, made by honorable mention. Two that are a little out of left field is the original Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, which is also a Sherman Brothers soundtrack, which I think is a great soundtrack. Maybe not good enough to be top 10, but still a lot of classic songs that you don't even necessarily realize are from that specific movie and wouldn't think of as Sherman Brothers songs, but some great songs in that. And then the last one in my honorable mention, which I almost put in my top 10 just as like a wild card, is Newsies. And just another one of those, it's a Broadway musical now that was much ballyhooed, and I think it's a pretty good soundtrack. It's obviously didn't make my top 10, but I'd be remiss not to mention that anyway.
Yeah, Newsies is great. I love the music. We're actually going to see the musical next summer.
Oh, nice.
Here in town. Well,
the touring production.
Yeah, the touring production of it. It's a great, great, great song.
It is a great soundtrack.
Or soundtrack, I mean. There's so many that you could choose. Definitely. I mean, we could go on for hours about this, yeah, but
exactly.
For the sake of your listeners, we probably shouldn't.
Yes, so and on that note, let's take our second break and we'll come back to wrap things up.
Stay tuned at the end of this week's episode for a medley of all the songs that Alan and I chose as our top songs from our favorite Disney movie soundtracks.
All right, we're back from break. Any final thoughts on our top 10 soundtracks? I think we were pretty exhaustive in our coverage there, Alan. What do you say?
Yeah, I agree. I think we really only had the obvious overlaps. You know, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and Mary Poppins. Those are the obvious ones. Everything else was that actually surprised me a little bit that we didn't have more overlap.
Yeah, I think both of us tried to
kind of go a little different in some choices, though.
Yeah, I assumed that my top five and your top five would be maybe not exactly the same, but maybe the same five in different orders, but they weren't. I mean, some of the top three were similar. Either way, it was different enough. I guess that's just a testament to the Disney movie catalog and how unique they are that you can have these soundtracks that are so iconic that can be interpreted by different people and as their tops, and it's not only so many to choose from where it would be an obvious top 10.
Yeah.
So I was almost hesitant to say doing top 10. I was going to say, oh, maybe we'll do top 5, but there's so many. If we did top 5, I would have been up all night trying to narrow it down.
Yeah, I'd still be working on it. No, I think top 10 was good. I mean, with some things you don't want to do, you mentioned that you don't want to do top 10 because you're just grasping for straws to fill in, you know, 8, 9, and 10 or 7, 8, 9, and 10. But I think for movie scores or soundtracks, there's so many more. And if you asked me tomorrow, I'd probably come up with 10 different ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe not 10, but the last 3 or 4 would be different.
A couple different ones.
Yeah.
And like we said before we started recording, I mean, you could even put the Star Wars soundtrack and the score on there. Indiana Jones, those had some great scores,
even though
there's not, you know, mute necessarily songs with lyrics in those, but the scores to those movies are so iconic and classic, and those are technically Disney movies now, so where do those fit in?
Yeah.
Obviously, that's a whole other can of worms that we could have opened up, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot to choose from. There's a large repertoire, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Definitely. All right, Alan. So you came on the Por Favor podcast and you dipped your toe in the waters. What do you say? You going to stick it out with us? Or you going to head back to the Tiki guys?
I think the verdict's still out. I enjoyed my time here.
Okay.
You know, I had a lot of fun. I appreciate you having me on. You know, I love my Tiki Birds, though. You guys pay better. I'll give you that. They don't pay me, except in Cheerwine. They pay me in Cheerwine and Tiki Nuts.
Which,
by the way, Cheerwine, you know, do you get Cheerwine here at Por Favor?
No, I don't.
No.
I can't get it up here. So that might end the deal.
Unfortunately, that's going to have to be the deal breaker then.
I know it was. Your agent did give me your rider, and that was on the top of the list, and I just couldn't come up with it on short notice. So I apologize for that.
Well, I guess
I'll get all the red M&Ms though for you.
I do like red M&Ms. I guess I'll have to go back to the Tiki Hut then because they have Cheerwine and plenty of it.
All right. Well, in that case, you want to give a little shout out to those guys, let people know where they can find you.
Yeah, you can check us out. We are it's the Enchanted Tiki Talk podcast. We put out a show every week. It's me and Sean and Keith. We are at Tiki Talk Podcast on Twitter. We're on Facebook. The show has a YouTube channel now. We're on V24 Radio on Thursdays at 11. We have a Redbubble store if you want to buy a T-shirt. I think I've self-promoted enough. That's about it.
Okay, sounds good. And again, you're at Norman Bates on Twitter with that crazy spelling, which I have to look up every time.
Yeah.
Luckily, it autofills after a couple letters of it. But
yeah.
I can't wrap my mind around it.
Well, that's actually my license plate, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's why it's done that way, because you can't put Norman Bates on a license plate. So
right. Makes sense.
I got that license plate back in high school, man, long time ago. So stuck with me forever.
All
right, but so, you can find me there on Twitter at Norman Bates. It's N-O-R-M-N-B, the number 8 and the letter S. I'm also on Instagram at Norman Bates.
Perfect. So again, thank you so much for joining us. I'll give my quick social media info as well. The show's website is porfavorpodcast.com. On Twitter, we are at porfavorpodcast. You can find us on Facebook as well, facebook.com/porfavorpodcast. Email the show. It's info@porfavorpodcast.com. And you can even call the Porfavor hotline at 413-367-8871. If you like the show, subscribe on iTunes and leave us a review over there. I'll plug Mike's personal Twitter since he'll be back next week, and he is at Porfavor Mike. I run the Porfavor Podcast Twitter, so I'll just use that as my personal. You can email me, Gary@porfavorpodcast.com, and you can email Mike@porfavorpodcast.com. And I think I got everything. So once again, Alan, thank you so much for coming on. I had a lot of fun. I appreciate you coming on and going through a really fun topic with our top Disney soundtracks.
Thank you. I had a good time, and thanks for trying to pick me up on a trade.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have Oswald to offer, but it was worth the shot.
I'm not worth Oswald, but I am worth Al Michaels.
Okay, perfect. That sounds good to me. Yeah, too bad. It's too bad it didn't work out, because I know that you guys are birds. I don't know if you're like homing pigeons. You always end up back where you came from. So I guess you're going to fly back to the Tiki Hut after this.
Yeah, I'll fly back.
You don't get the private jet back home. I didn't let you know that ahead of time.
Oh, man.
So you got to find your own ride.
Oh, well. Hopefully they'll leave the door open for me.
All right. Again, thank you, Alan, for joining us. This has been episode number 36 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejado de los Podcast. My name is Gary. I am your host again for Alan from the Tiki Talk Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.
Aloha. Wait, wrong podcast.
It's a dream come true for you and me, so there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Shining at the end of every day, there's a great
day. And I will go sailing no more. But no, it can't be true. I could fly if I wanted to, like a bird.
Same thing, cause like I've been searching my whole life to find my own place, and maybe it's the party talking or the chocolate fondue.
But with you,
I found my place.
I see your face, and it's nothing like I've ever known before. Love is an open door. Love is an open door.
My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine heading my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It's the truth. It's actual. Everything is satisfactual. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. Wonderful feeling. Wonderful day.
I'd rather be called deadly, but I kill a show too madly. Thank you, cause way down deep inside I've got a dream.
He's got a dream, he's got a dream.
See, I ain't as cruel and vicious as I seem. Though I do like breaking femurs, you can count me with the dreamers. Like everybody else, I've got a dream.
Long ago, but not so very long ago, world was different. Oh yes, it was. You settled down and you built a town and made it live. And you watched it grow. It was your town.
In somebody else's lake, you dream about going up there, but that is a big mistake. Just look at the world around you, right here on the ocean floor. Such wonderful things around you. What more is you looking for? Under the sea, under the sea. Darling, it's better down where it's wetter. Take it from me.
Sit down at my table, put your mind at ease. If you relax, it will enable me to do anything I please. I can read your future, I can change it around some too. I look deep into your heart and soul. You do have a soul, don't you, Lawrence? Make your wildest dreams come true. I got voodoo, I got hoodoo, I got things I ain't even tried. I got friends on the other side.
He's got friends on the other side.
Chim chiminy, chim chiminy, chim chim cheree. A sweep is as lucky can be. Chim chiminy, chim chiminy, chim chim cheroo. Good luck will rub off when I shake hands with you. Or blow me a kiss. And that's lucky too. Now as the ladder of life has been strung, you might think a sweep's on the bottom most rung. Though I spends me time in the ashes and smoke, in this all wide world there's no happier bloke.
Let's get down to business to defeat the Huns. Did they send me daughters when I asked for sons? Bunch I ever met, but you can bet before we're through, Mister, I'll make a man out of you.
As you see, I've got biceps to spare.
Not a bit of him scraggly or scrawny.
That's right. And every last inch of me's covered with hair.
No one hits like Gaston.
Match his wits like Gaston.
In a spitting match, nobody spits like Gaston.
I'm especially good at expectorating.
10 points for Gaston.
Why, when he was a young warthog.
When I was a young warthog.
Very nice.
Thanks.
He found his aroma like a certain appeal. He could clear the savannah after every meal.
I'm a sensitive soul, though I seem thick-skinned. And it hurt that my friends never stood downwind.
And oh, the shame!
He was a change!
What a change in my name!
Oh, what's in a name?
And I got downhearted!
Can't you feel?
Can we count it on?
Hey, Pumba, not in front of the kids.
Oh, sorry.
All the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities, or Mother Nature's recipes that bring the bare necessities of life. Wherever I wander, wherever I roam, I couldn't be found off my big home. The bees are buzzing in the tree to make some honey just for me. When you look under the rocks and plants and take a glance at the fancy ants, then maybe try a few. The bare necessities of life will come to you. They'll come to you.
Bee. Ow. Guest, be our guest, put our service to the test. Tie your napkin round your neck, Sherry, and we provide the rest. Soup du jour, hot hors d'oeuvre, why, we only live to serve. Try the gray stuff, it's delicious. Don't believe me, ask the dishes. They can sing, they can dance. After all, miss, this is France, and a dinner here is never second best. Go on, unfold your menu, take a glance, and then you'll be our guest. We our guest, be our guest.
If you invest your tuppence wisely in the bank, safe and sound, soon that tuppence, safely invested in the bank, will compound. And you'll achieve that sense of conquest as your affluence expands in the hands of the directors who invest as propriety demands.
May I, sir?
Carry on, Banks.
You see, Michael, you'll be part of railways through Africa.
Exactly.
Dams across the Nile.
The ships, tell them about the ships.
Fleets of ocean greyhounds.
More, tell them more.
Majestic self-amortizing canals.
How it fires the imagination.
Plantations of ripening tea. From
tuppence prudently, thriftily, frugally invested in the,
to be specific,
in the doors, terms, mousely, grubs, fidelity, fiduciary bank.
Now, Michael, when you deposit tuppence in a bank account, soon you'll see that it blooms into credit of a generous amount, semi-annually, and you'll achieve that sense of stature as your influence expands to the high financial strata that established credit now commands.
You can purchase first and second trust deeds. Think of the foreclosures, bonds, chattels, dividends, shares,
bankruptcies,
general sales,
opportunities,
all manner of private enterprise,
shipyards,
the mercantile,
collieries,
canneries,
corporations,
amalgamations,
banks.
You see, Michael?
Tuppence, patiently, cautiously, trustingly invested in the, to be specific, in the Dawes, Tomes, Mousley, Grubbs, Fidelity, Fiduciary.